can hear what comes out of their mouth or what comes out of their brain, then you know, boy, this is a weirdo. I don't need to spend the rest of my life with them. I need to love them impersonally, not personally. So virtue in the Christian life is totally void of your emotions kicking in. I am not talking about emotional appreciation for your spouse. I'm not talking about feeling emotional for your neighbor. I'm talking about a mental attitude of virtue that spawns out of your personal love for God. It's the same attitude that Christ had on the cross when he said, "Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing." He had impersonal love. When he went to the cross, he died for you and me. Even though we're the biggest jerks in town, he died for us. You know that. So it's not about his emotions, it's about what he did. And it has to be the same way for us. Emotions really don't think very much. They rationalize to try to solve problems. But we have problem-solving devices found in the Bible. This is why arrogant people always want to be loved unconditionally. They want unconditional love for others, but all they offer in return is sort of conditional love. I love you if you treat me this way. The greater the arrogance, the greater the condition of love. Most men do this to the women that they love. You know that. But go back. Listen again. Arrogant people always seek unconditional love for others, from others. You don't do that. That's not the way you live. You don't have to have people love you in order to love them. If you learn God's problem-solving devices, if you stay filled with the Holy Spirit, if you learn the process, if you renovate your thinking, you can love the biggest jerk in town the same way God loved him, the same way Christ loved him when he went to the cross, the same virtuous love. It's called impersonal love. Personal love without impersonal love as a virtue is the weakest and most unstable status quo in life. Listen again. Personal love without impersonal love as a virtue is the weakest and the most unstable status quo in life. Because, why? It's vulnerable to the entire realm of arrogance and emotions. You can't use it. You can't have personal love without impersonal love first. Jesus said in John 15:12 to the disciples, "This is my mandate, that you love one another as I have loved you." They were bitter and jealous of one another. If you don't believe that, read the New Testament and see how they competed for his attention. Who wanted to be first and who wanted to sit on the right hand and the left hand and who wanted to prove he was the toughest. In 1 John 4:20-21, if someone says, "I love God," but he hates his fellow believer, he's a liar, and the truth is not in him. So impersonal love, in a brief survey that we did there, I mean, it is the greatest virtue for you to have. It is your functional virtue in life. If you have impersonal love, and you can develop impersonal love by renovating your thinking, then you will never get mad at a person. You will never have bitterness and hostility. You'll never have that sort of emotion controlling your life because you hate somebody or you hate what they did to you or you hate the way they treated your family or you hate the way they kicked at your dog. You have to learn to use impersonal love. Christ died for that person just like he died for you. You have your flaws. They have their flaws. But you judge them because they did something that you didn't like. And you don't have impersonal love. Thus, without impersonal love, you're never going to have any happiness in your life either. Happiness is a wonderful problem-solving device. We call it problem-solving device number 9, sharing the happiness of God. And it's taught in the Bible quite plainly. We call it plus H. Plus H is sharing the happiness of God. Minus H is no happiness, and neutral H is the happiness the world offers. So, if you want to be happy, you have to do what Jesus said in Luke 11:27-28. Here he's speaking and a woman comes up and interrupts his message. And she blurts out, "Blessed is the womb that bore you and blessed is the breast that you nursed on." And the Lord politely maybe impolitely, I don't know, he didn't sin, but he said, "You are wrong, lady." He said, "Happiness belongs to those who hear my Father's word and keep it." That's the source of happiness, hearing God's word and keeping it. In this passage, the Lord had been dealing with demon possession, and here comes a woman coming up to interrupt him, to take the tension away, to distract people, and start talking about love. She was having some kind of emotional experience and felt like what she had to say was more important than what Jesus had to say. So she interrupted his message. And he was talking about those Pharisees and how they blasphemed the Holy Spirit by attributing his miracles to the working of Satan. So it was a good ploy by the devil, but it didn't work. We don't know if she was a believer or not, but we do know she was definitely demon-influenced to interrupt what Jesus was saying, trying to divert Christ's message away from the subject that he was talking about. You know, our Lord had fantastic eyestasis. He had the ability to see the issue. I mean, he had just finished admonishing Martha for her griping about having to do all the food preparation by herself, fix the food by herself. And he had go on dealing with this subject. And, you know, Mary chose the one good thing, he said, that's necessary. That's the word of God. Nothing would stop Mary from getting face to face with her Savior. That does not mean that that you study the Word of God when it's convenient. Basically, what that situation is saying to us is the most important thing in my life and your life is to get face to face with our Lord through the Bible and through the filling of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. Daily. Every day. So this woman made happiness out of the womb. Happiness is not related to the womb. When she broke in and said, happiness relates to those, to the mother that bore you, the womb that bore you, and the breast that you nursed on. Happiness is never related to the womb. Bearing children will not fulfill anyone's life. So mothers can have pride in their children, but it's not the plus H that we're talking about. It's not the happiness of God. And this whole situation was to trap him, to lure him into a road that he did not need to go down. So he corrected her, and he said, "You're wrong. That's not true. Happiness belongs to those people who hear my Father's word and keep it." Our Lord Jesus Christ was a great teacher, and his treasure that he taught us is to be guarded. And James 1:22 says, don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer. Because hearers deceive their own self. You just must understand it must be application in your life when you hear it. Because sooner or later, you'll be tested on what you've learned. And when you're tested, then you have to be able to make the application. The woman said happiness was related to motherhood. Jesus said happiness was related to the Word of God in your soul, hearing it and keeping it. I mean, our Lord talked about happiness a lot to the disciples and to you. And the Bible says in Proverbs 3, happy is the one who finds wisdom and the one who obtains understanding. True happiness comes from wisdom and understanding. I need to explain a little bit more about that for you. The Fantastic Four, wisdom, knowledge, understanding, and discernment, is something that's critical for all of us to have. So maybe we'll get around to that here in the next episode as we come back to our radio show next time. But you must know your options so you don't walk around in a fog all the time. You've got to understand Satan's myth. Then that myth is that people or circumstances in life can make you happy. That's not true. So if you're dependent on any one person or any one set of circumstances for happiness, then you are going to be disillusioned and weak all of your life. Are you listening? Are you paying attention? I sure hope so. I don't want to be talking to myself. I trust that you're listening. I trust you're learning. I trust you'll let me know as I requested. If you're listening, drop us a note. Tell us we're listening in this station or in this city. And that'll be an encouragement to us as we make our decisions about where we go in the future. So thank you for being with us. Thank you for being here and giving me a few minutes. Until next week, this is your host, Rick Hughes.